Good morning. Great to see everybody. Hope you've had a wonderful week. Most of us have had a chance to enjoy a little bit of food and a lot of family. Perhaps for some, it was just the opposite, a lot of food and only a little bit of family. But I hope that you've had a great week and that you've enjoyed this time that we call Thanksgiving. One of the great privileges that those of us who are ministers have is to spend time with godly families who have lost or are in the process of losing loved ones. And we've had that opportunity this week on at least two occasions, and we're so grateful for those opportunities as we observe people who love the Lord. We observe people who are interested in not just today, not just what is going on today, but recognize that there is indeed a world awaiting us as we leave this life. And there's such gratitude that's expressed over and over again. I listened yesterday as one sweet person prayed over and over again for God's will to be done. And that's our prayer every day, or at least it should be, for God's will to be done in our lives in every way. And if God's will is to be done, the story that was read a little while ago would make a big difference in your life as you live every day. When one writer was looking at this particular message in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, this person thought of leprosy in the way that we ought to think of sin. It's kind of interesting to see what Jesus saw, or at least to think about what Jesus saw as he walked through the world. And he saw so many things that if we aren't thoughtful, we aren't very careful, we will overlook. And the Lord is always trying to teach us not just about this life, not just about what's going on in the physical body, but what is going on in our spiritual lives and what is going on in our spiritual bodies. Arlingham said sin is established suddenly in the heart as a disease, like a magician fowl rules the better thoughts against their will. Only the rays of God can cure the heart, can purge it of evil. There's no other way except to turn with the whole heart to God. The whole heart to God. I was thinking as we were singing about life, and often I use the little grid over on the side of the highway to help us think about getting back in the right lane. If we had a conscience that was so well trained that every time we started moving away from this gratitude that we ought to have for God and the lifestyle that we ought to be living for God, the kinds of people that we ought to be, if that conscience could just grind so that it would keep on grinding until we moved back in the right way, what a blessing it would be. But this writer recognizes that sin is often very subtle. And Satan is trying so hard for us to justify the behavior that we undertake, the lives that we choose to live. And it makes it so hard for us because of the subtlety of sin sometimes to recognize just how difficult it is. But as we think about gratitude and as we think about the condition of our lives, both physically but especially spiritually, as we turn to this story of Jesus encountering these 10 men, there are many, many lessons that we ought to be thinking about as we read, as we contemplate, and as we study. First of all, it would be hard to imagine what a pitiful sight it was to see 10 men who had to be together in one sense because of their disease. They couldn't be with their families. I was thinking how great it was to get just some of our family together this week. Some of Jan's family we had the blessing of being with. Some of my family we had the blessing of being with. And what a great joy that is. What if you could not go home for Thanksgiving? not just as a matter of choosing to do something different, but because you were required by law not to go home and not to be with your family. What a pitiful sight Jesus saw in these 10 men with the disease that they had. In us thinking about ourselves in a spiritual sense, perhaps as we read the Bible from the Old Testament description of leprosy all the way through the New Testament instances where we see leprosy talked about as this passage does, if we could maybe understand a little bit of what God sees in us spiritually. As we think about the difficulties that lepers faced, the physical circumstances that leprosy brought with it, if we could just think that's what God sees of us in our spiritual lives when we are not being cleaned up by Him, when we're choosing not to be healed by Him, what a pitiful sight God sees in us. Like sin, leprosy brought uncleanness. If you go back to the book of Leviticus in chapter 13, in the description of the laws of leprosy and the governing of those people who developed leprosy as a disease, they were considered unclean. The priest would look at them and would have to pronounce them unclean. And very often, the very houses that they lived in would be considered unclean, and the clothes and all the things that were in the house sometimes were considered unclean and would all have to be destroyed because of uncleanness. But like sin, leprosy also led to separation. They had to live outside the camp. If you go back and read in verse 46, they could not stay in their homes. They had to go and stay with other people who had this dread disease. And the biblical form of leprosy is different from what we call Hansen's disease in our culture today. It was a different kind of thing that had no cure. And the only way that one could be made clean, so far as we could tell, was the intervention of God. And so like sin, humanly incurable. There was no medicine. There was no treatment. And so they lived outside until there was some intervention that was beyond man that would come into their lives and permit them to go back home and be who they needed to be. And so Jesus encountered a pitiful sight in these 10 lepers, but he also encountered an earnest prayer. As they were going along, as you listen to the story read in verse 13, they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." You know, it's kind of an interesting thing about us. I don't know if it's always been this way, but in our culture, sometimes we're not willing to ask for help. We need it. Someone could give it to us, and we're not willing to ask for help. In this case, they came to the only one, they came upon the only one who could help them. And they recognized that, and they prayed earnestly that something might be done. I've heard some earnest prayers when people were physically sick. When we hear those words, "There is nothing that can be done for your condition," I've heard many times, "We're going to let this person go home, and our goal is to help them be comfortable. That's the best we can do. There is no hope for a cure." We've heard that over and over again in a physical sense. But it's hard for us to hear people earnestly seeking God when they recognize that there is no hope other than God. And there is no comfort that is available except through God. And these 10 lepers recognized who they were, the condition that they were in, and they cried out with an earnest prayer, "Have mercy on us." One of the things that is hard for us to grasp fully, I believe, is just how sweet that is to the ears of Jesus. We say things like, "That was music to the ear of Jesus." To hear people recognize the need for Him, to have them understand that there is nowhere else they can go. This is the only thing that you can do. It was the one thing that was needed. Mercy that could only come through Jesus the Christ. That's the plea that these people made in such an earnest prayer. And Jesus gave such a simple remedy. It seems unthinkable that it would be so simple. A disease that could not be cured humanly, and for them to cry out to Jesus to have mercy on them. And he simply says in verse 14, go show yourself to the priests. You know, it's quite likely that these 10 men had seen priests before, but they were being asked to go for a different reason this time. It wasn't just to get a look at a priest. It was for the priest to give them the right to go back to their homes, to give them the right to live a normal life. It was an unbelievable gift for Jesus to say to them, go show yourselves unto the priests. Because you see, if you go back to the book of Leviticus and you read the accounting of the laws of leprosy, it would be the priests that were responsible for pronouncing them unclean. And if they were blessed with grace and mercy and the ability to be clean from their leprosy, the priest would be the one who would pronounce them clean and give them a certificate so that they could show it to anyone who questioned, you are a leper. But not anymore. They have the pronunciation of cleanliness. They have the certificate to show it. But as we look at this text, verse 14 says, as they went on their way. You see, when Jesus said, go show yourself to your priest, he was not saying, you are clean now. Here is something you need to do. You need to go show yourself to the priest. And it was only as they went on their way that they were cleansed from their leprosy. Two things were absolutely needed for these people. One of them was faith in Jesus Christ and what he had to say to them. They absolutely needed to listen. Had they decided to go somewhere besides showing themselves to the priest, nothing could have happened because they would not have listened to the Lord. They would have not have trusted in the Lord. They would have never obeyed the Lord. But as they went on their way, they trusted in what God had to say to them. And so they obeyed. Their faith wasn't in, yes, I need to do that, but I've got other things I need to do. Or if I ever get a little better, I'll then go and show myself to the priest. They didn't make the kinds of excuses that we often make when we're thinking about our spiritual lives. They listened and they went on their way. Right this day, if you are living in sin, you need the grace of God just as surely as these lepers did. And there are two things that are absolutely needed. That is faith in God, faith in what Jesus has to say to us, and an immediate willing to be obedient to that if you want to be clean now. You can never be clean until you trust the Word of God and obey it. The remedy is simple. But the Lord saw one grateful recipient. And one, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and glorified God. One. Did the others not see that they were healed? Did the others not recognize what a great gift they had been given? Did they not understand the impact of what had just happened to them, what it would have on their entire lives in the future in a physical sense? The healing mercy of Christ not only made this foreigner, this stranger — those are words that are used to translate who this Samaritan was — this healing mercy made him very thankful, but it also made him very humble. Look at verse 16. He fell on his face at the feet of Jesus. hard for us to humble ourselves. It's hard for us in any setting when we are found to be guilty. It's hard for us to say, you got me. I'm guilty. But it seems because God is not right in our face, as it were, it's so much easier to refuse to recognize the degree to which we need God's healing. But what an unbelievable blessing it is that Jesus pointed out to us one grateful recipient. One, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. What a grateful person. But what a wonderful example for us as we think about the healing power of God, the cleansing power of God, and the great blessing that we have in the forgiveness of our sins and in the relationship that we have with God, in that we can be clean. May we be grateful recipients. But then came a very searching question. As you read verses 17 through 19, Jesus raised the question, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this one foreigner? And he said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. When we think about this one that came back, the Jewish people would have despised him. But he's the one who turned back to give thanks. Sometimes those of us that are so close to God, those of us that have had godly parents, we've had godly elders and preachers and teachers that loved us, and we've been taught and nurtured and cherished in the Word of God all of our lives. It is so hard for us to recognize the beauty of the life that God offers, and we choose the way of the world so very often when we need to be thankful that God has blessed us with these wonderful people. God's blessing is pronounced upon all who are so grateful for his sacrifice, who are so enthralled by the thought of being clean from sin, that they want to cast themselves at the feet of Jesus and trust his word and obey his word. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, when we read that passage, we recognize that the belief of the heart, with the heart, man believes. But that belief in the heart should always be accompanied with the confession of the mouth. Confession is made unto salvation. We need to be people who are looking at this searching question to see if we are one who would return and submit ourselves to God and be obedient and trust him. As we close this morning, in thinking about the only one, in thinking about this one who turned back to give thanks to God, as we look at these 10 men, they were in the position of all of us. They were in the position physically that we are in spiritually. We have this disease of sin, not being able to heal ourselves or to go to any human to take care of the problem. The position that every person in this room has is the constant need for mercy. May it be the prayer of all of us for God to be merciful to us. And may it be the praise of every one of us. That was the praise of this one, giving thanks to God for healing and for cleansing. Are you like the only one? Where are the 9? This morning, as we sing this beautiful song, it may be that your life is filled with ingratitude, that you've never turned to give thanks to God for the salvation that is offered through Jesus Christ, his Son. And therefore, you've not been willing to this point to repent of your sins and confess his great name and submit yourself humbly to be buried with him in baptism. Our hope and our prayer, our very purpose in singing this song is to encourage you to do that. If you're a child of God and ingratitude has filled your heart to the degree that you have set the Lord aside, wouldn't you want to fall at his feet, give him thanks, seek his grace and his mercy once again by praying, seeking him in the way that he's directed? Our hope and our prayer is that all of us, after this great week of thanksgiving, can be even more grateful for every opportunity that we have to express to God our thanks for salvation. And so if you need to respond this morning, respond with gratitude as we stand and as we sing.